Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
On a busy Thursday morning in the Marian month of May, it's May 12, 2022. Great to be with you on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, your pro-life radio and TV network. And specifically, today, in just about an hour and a half from now, EWTN is going live from beautiful Ottawa, Canada, for their March for Life. Doug Keck mentioned this last week, and here it is, already before us, and the Mass is at 10:30, and the March starts after that. Janet Miranda from Priests for Life is there, and EWTN, and many of our EWTN personalities also. So please stay tuned for great coverage, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow on Catholic Connection as well. Coming up on the program, right after the news, our friend Joseph Pierce. Just love the work of this man. He's just amazing. He's just a great witness and so knowledgeable, and what a faith journey he's been on. If you haven't heard about his testimony, you really need to check it out. I'm going to let you look it up and find out if you haven't heard about his incredible testimony and conversion to Catholicism. Many people know it already, but it's worth revisiting because it's so, so powerful in how the Lord works. Anyhow, I digress. I just wanted to mention that because it's such a beautiful conversion story. He has a beautiful new book out from our friends at Ignatius Press entitled Faith of Our Fathers, A History of True England. Recently released, of course, by Ignatius Press, a Catholic church, has been a big part of English history since the arrival of Christian missionaries to Roman Britain in the first century AD. England was evangelized in those early centuries to such an extent by the time Romans withdrew in the 5th century, the Celtic population was largely Catholic. And it also has been considered a land of the saints. So he's going to review some of this beautiful history of England with us when he joins us at 15 minutes past the hour. And then we wrap up on a Thursday morning with giving you yet another pro-life resource. Monica Flynn is the executive director of Mommies Matter. The website is mommiesmatter.org, and this is a beautiful, relatively new ministry. And what they're doing is they're walking alongside and working with wonderful pregnancy resource centers and pregnancy resource center umbrella networks, such as, for example, the fantastic Heartbeat International. And we all know, of course, the great work of Peggy Hartshorn and Heartbeat based in Columbus, Ohio. That's where Monica is. And she's looking to start Mommies Matter chapters around the country. And so we chatted briefly, and I checked out their beautiful website. And this is a great, great commitment that they have to really walking alongside moms and helping them walk alongside each other in the long term. Now, pregnancy resource centers already do so much in terms of, in many cases, working with moms and families for up to 2, 3, 4 years. But this is a continual support group and also support effort for moms in the real long term for as long as they would like to be a part of this. So mommiesmatter.org is a website. And trying to give you as many resources as possible because we are engaging in this battle, and it's a battle on so many levels, especially spiritual. And there are so many people who struggle with this issue because they don't have the information, they don't have the resources that they need. I did, as I mentioned earlier this week, put together a new resource list for you. Well, it's updated. I wouldn't say it's brand new because we already had a pro-life page on my website at teresatomeo.com, but I make it really easy for you to go there and to share that link. And when people, and they often wrongly accuse us of not caring about the moms and the families, I mean, this is just a thumbnail sketch of just a few of the literally thousands of resources and outreach efforts in the pro-life movement to help families, to help women. So, just saying. All right, so Monica will wrap us up on a Thursday morning. As far as the weather is concerned, we have some concerns with the weather because the fires that are out there are pretty scary, and there's some very dry sections of the country, but there's also some rain coming in, especially in the upper Midwest, with severe thunderstorms expected through today. And as we mentioned, fire weather concerns persisting across eastern Colorado and the south central high plains, with elevated to critical conditions. There's also some big areas of California that are affected and some homes that were damaged or destroyed. So we'll keep you up to date on that. Right now, it's 4 minutes past the hour. It is a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection. And don't forget, tomorrow, the bishops are asking us, USCCB, to pray and fast, say the rosary, for this whole issue of abortion, especially with what's happening in the country, to protect our churches, to protect pro-life organizations. And also, of course, a big effort is to change the hearts and minds of those who wrongly think that abortion is the answer. It's never the answer, and it's always intrinsically evil. And we need to help people understand why and then walk with them to give them the resources to turn away from abortion, say no to abortion, and yes for life. Let's look at the news on a Thursday morning. It's May 12, 2022 on EWTN. Well, that expansive abortion measure that would have declared abortion a human right, undercutting existing state pro-life laws and forcing objecting doctors to perform abortions, again failed to pass the U.S. Senate on Wednesday. The so-called Women's Health Protection Act, failing by 49 to 51 by a largely party-line vote, with Senator Joe Manchin, a Democrat from West Virginia, voting against the bill. An almost identical version of that measure failed in a February vote by an identical margin. Meanwhile, former Vice President Mike Pence keeps speaking out on the pro-life issues. He says he's hopeful the leaked Supreme Court opinion becomes final.
It is my hope and literally my prayer that the draft opinion that was leaked a week ago in the Dobbs case before the Supreme Court becomes the majority opinion, and that we're able to overturn Roe versus Wade and return the question of abortion to the states.
Vice President Pence saying protests outside the homes of Supreme Court justices an attempt to influence their decision. Pence saying what's happening now is a radical left trying to force their agenda on the American people. He said Democrats claim overturning Roe v. Wade is an infringement on women's rights, but really, it's all about putting the power to make the choice back in the hands of the people. Pope Francis is decrying the low birth rate in Western countries. He mentioned this today, describing it as an urgent social emergency. In a message released today during a conference addressing Italy's low birth rate, Catholic News Agency reports that he stated, "It's not immediately perceptible, such as other problems that occupy the news, but he says it is very urgent. Fewer and fewer children are being born." He went on to say this means impoverishing everyone's culture, Italy, Europe, and the West. The Pope's message, read during the second edition of the meeting, the General State of the Birth Rate, held in Rome, it's going on today and tomorrow. The Pope did speak at the same meeting last year. Now, the General State of the Birth Rate, bringing together political, business, and organizational leaders to reflect on Italy's demographic crisis caused by one of the lowest birth rates in Europe. The Pope said, struggling to realize their dream of children, some people are settling for mediocre substitutes, he said, such as work, cars, travel, and leisure time. He added, the beauty of family, a family full of children, is in danger of becoming a utopia, a dream difficult to realize. The former Archbishop of Hong Kong out of jail, Cardinal Zen, released on bond yesterday, Catholic News Agency explains, just hours after being arrested. Zen, arrested for his role as a trustee of Humanitarian Relief Fund that helped pro-democracy protesters pay their legal fees. Zen is an outspoken supporter of the pro-democracy movement. The reports emerging shortly after the Vatican stated it was very concerned to hear of the 90-year-old Cardinal's arrest yesterday. And Aid to the Church in Need announces support to rebuild a seminary that was devastated by the war in Ukraine. As Lydia O'Kain reports with Vatican News, among the items taken was a chalice donated to the seminary by Pope St. John Paul II.
On the 25th of February, over two dozen young men training for the priesthood were forced to flee the Sacred Heart Seminary 30 kilometers east of Kiev in Ukraine after Russian Federation troops seized Kiev International Airport and made their way to Vortsil. After the seminary had sustained damage from two mortar bombardments, the soldiers proceeded to enter the buildings, taking whatever they could. They even took a chalice donated by Pope St. John Paul II when he visited Ukraine in 2001. Throughout this war, there have been stories of suffering and heartache, but there are also glimpses of light and hope that break through. For the seminary in Vortsil, this hope is being provided by Aid to the Church in Need, which has promised to cover the costs of replacing the furniture and equipment that was stolen in addition to rebuilding. This lifeline means that the seminary will again be able to reopen its doors in September. Recalling the scenes of devastation, seminary rector Father Ruslan Mikhailkiv told ACN that the buildings were left in a terrible state. They took everything they could, kitchen utensils, washing machines, computers and air conditioners. The seminarians' rooms were ransacked and they took liturgical items, he said. Russian troops had already occupied neighbouring Bucha, where they reportedly killed hundreds of civilians. As they approached Vortsil, students and seminary staff fled with five children from the nearby orphanage and the two sisters caring for them. Father Mikhailkiv was able to return last month after Russian forces were driven out from the area around Ukraine's capital. We will be very grateful to Aid to the Church in Need if our seminarians manage to return in September, he said. ACN head of Ukraine projects, Magda Kazmarek, stressed that helping the church to recover would be part of the charity's ongoing work in the country.
A man accused of leading a Haitian gang that kidnapped members of an Ohio-based Christian organization being indicted now by a federal grand jury. Jalil Jermyn was indicted yesterday, or actually Tuesday, for allegedly directing and controlling the kidnappings and ransom demands by the gang. Nearly 20 members of Christian Aid Ministries kidnapped last October near the Haitian capital of Port-au-Prince. The missionaries were in Haiti to help rebuild roads, restore houses, and install water systems following a devastating earthquake. Inflation still climbing at levels not seen in decades. As a consumer price index, we learned, rose 0.3% last month. It's up 8.3% year over year, but Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis says his administration is doing things the right way.
We actually guard people's money well. We don't print money that we don't have. We spend reasonably. And the result is, you know, we have the biggest budget surplus we've ever had in the history of the state right now.
In a speech this week, Joe Biden, meanwhile, insisting inflation was not his fault, but the fault of Vladimir Putin, along with the fallout from COVID. Meanwhile, Trey Thomas tells us what's happening at the pump, and it's not looking good price-wise.
It's another day, another record at the gas pump. AAA reports the national average gas price is up a penny from Wednesday to $4.41 a gallon. As it has been for some time now, Californians are paying the most at an average of $5.85 a gallon.
The Senate's top Republican is again blaming Joe Biden and fellow Democrats for soaring inflation.
President Biden has presided over one of the most expensive years for working families in modern American history.
That's Minority Leader Mitch McConnell noting gas prices, as you just heard, are at record levels along with overall energy costs. He said it's hammering struggling families, calling it inflation on top of inflation. McConnell also arguing farmers and ranchers are being dealt a crushing blow. Overdose deaths in the U.S. are hitting a record high. According to provisional data from the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, last year the deadliest on record when it comes to overdose deaths. Nearly 108,000 people dying of drug overdoses last year, an increase of about 14,000 from 2020. Brian Shook tells us the relatives of the victims of that 2021 Surfside condo collapse reaching a settlement in their wrongful death lawsuits.
The Wall Street Journal reports the victims agreed to a $997 million settlement on Wednesday after the collapse killed almost 100 people last June. The families had sued several businesses, including Champlain Towers South's insurers and an engineering firm who warned the building had structural issues before it collapsed. Earlier this year, those who sued for property damage were awarded $83 million.
At least 20 homes are burned around Laguna Hills, California, as a brush fire spread rapidly Wednesday. Resident Carson Wilson says they did not see this coming.
Never expected it. I know during the summer it gets a little hotter and a little windier. I know the embers can catch flames and it can spread rapidly, but I didn't imagine it to be like this at all.
Evacuations ordered as the fire grew to 200 acres, burning through mansions along the Orange County hillsides. Firefighters using water from a pond at a country club to help fight the blaze, and crews are keeping an eye out for more hot spots. The European Union, finally in our news segment on a Thursday morning, May 12th, no longer recommending wearing masks on airplanes and in airports. The EU Aviation Safety Agency and European Center for Disease Prevention and Control said in a joint statement, it's a big step forward in the normalization of air travel. The agency saying they came to the decision after consulting vaccination rates and naturally acquired immunity. 14 minutes past the hour. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN. And don't forget to follow the great coverage today of the March for Life in Canada, in Ottawa, the nation's capital there. Janet Moran is there along with many other EWTN personalities. A mass is at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, so a little bit more than an hour from now. And then coverage begins shortly after that. When we come back, our friend Joseph Pierce, a beautiful new book, Faith of Our Fathers, all about Catholic faith in England. Stay tuned.
Location, location, relocation. Studies show more than a third of college students transfer, and half of those do it more than once. He reminds us of St. Augustine's quote, "Our souls are restless until they rest in Thee." At Ave Maria University, we challenge this group to visit us, stroll down our palm tree paths, spike a shot on our sand volleyball court, or partake in an outdoor devotion. There's a reason when students visit Ave Maria, they tend to stay. Ave Maria University, your relocation destination. Visit avemaria.edu.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
This program underwritten by...
A battle is raging in America for the plight of the unborn. Now is the time to pray and to get involved. Do not miss the new award-winning movie, The Matter of Life. The Matter of Life has been hailed as the best film ever produced concerning the unborn and can be seen for two nights only in a theater near you. Visit FathomEvents.com now to reserve your tickets for May 16th or May 17th. That's FathomEvents.com. FathomEvents.com. It's a matter of life.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Thursday morning. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for tuning in to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I always love chatting with Joseph Pierce. We were just talking about our love of travel during the break and how things are opening up. And I was telling Joseph, I have to get to England. Now, I've only been to Heathrow Airport on my way to other places in Europe, but I always wanted to go, as we were talking about, to the English countryside. I don't know if it's because I love C.S. Lewis or whether, but that whole image of the Cotswold cottages, the little English villages, I just think that would be so beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, there is something unique and quintessential about the English village set in English countryside. There's nothing like it anywhere else in the world, and it really is the jewel in the crown as regards to the landscape of England. You know, I always, you know, spend as little time as possible in the cities and head out to the small market towns and the villages in the countryside.
So do you, when you're writing a book, for example, about your native land and looking at the history of the saints as you do in this beautiful book, does that come to mind as you're writing their stories and helping us learn more about it?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it's like the backdrop or the landscape in which your imagination's working. If you know the country, you know the landscape. And you know, I've hiked all over England, so my feet, if you like, have touched most of it, so to speak. So that's obviously in the background, and that adds a bit of depth, I think.
Sure.
But, you know, to actually know the place about which you're writing so well enables that extra depth to be part of it.
We're talking with Joseph Pierce, his book, Faith of Our Fathers, A History of True England. Not many people, I think, would think of England as a quote-unquote country with so much Catholic history or a Catholic country.
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons I wrote it. I mean, true England is the England that's remained true to the truth himself, in other words, to Jesus Christ. And what people don't realize is the first Christian missionaries arrived in England around 63 A.D., so only 30 years after the crucifixion of our Lord. They basically came in with the Roman conquerors when the Romans occupied England back in the first century. And then there was basically been a Catholic presence in England for 2,000 years.
Wow.
And there was a period for 300 years when it was illegal and punishable by death to be a priest. But for me, in many respects, that's the golden age of English Catholicism, because that's the age of the martyrs and the really courageous Catholics that stuck with the faith through thick and thin through three centuries of relentless persecution.
So when you're talking about a faith of our fathers, are you speaking of particular people in the church, or are you talking about just the history of England overall in terms of the Catholic faith?
Well, I think the true England is the English people taken as a whole in the presence of God. In other words, in some sense, the whole of history is present to God, and it's not a question of it being gone. Somehow it's still alive because it's in God's presence. So, for instance, we don't think the saints are God. We don't think the saints are dead. So I think that which is genuinely good is alive. And so I do think that true England, the 2,000 years of English history, is something which is very much alive and can inspire us today. And in some sense, you know, we'll be present with God in heaven. Now, we don't know how. That's a mystery. But good things don't cease to exist. Mm-hmm. Evil does, but, you know, but if something is good, it's going to be part of the beatific vision.
So let's talk about some of those early saints that you mentioned in the book. What about St. Bede?
Yeah, St. Bede the Venerable, of course, is marvelous. And if you're writing a history of England, he's also crucial because he wrote a history of England in the early 700s. So, you know, that early part of English history, we owe so much to him too. But he's a doctor of the church. So, you know, Bede the Venerable, he is venerable. And, you know, he's a crucial figure in not just English Catholic history, but in the history of the Catholic Church, as can be seen by the fact he has been elevated not merely as one of the saints, but as a doctor of the church. So crucial. And that's actually a golden age. Anglo-Saxon England, the same time that the Bede is writing, there's a monk writing Beowulf, and we have some other marvelous Christian poetry from that period. It really was a golden age of Catholicism, Anglo-Saxon England, prior to the conquest.
All right, so St. Edward the Confessor is also a big part of this book.
Yes, right at the end of the Anglo-Saxon period, from the 1040s to the 1060s, England was very blessed to have a saint on the throne as King of England, King St. Edward the Confessor, who's buried, his tomb is still in Westminster Abbey in London, so it can be venerated. Basically a very holy priest who had power of healing with his touch. Shakespeare actually alludes to this holy king, St. Edward the Confessor, in his play Macbeth, as a way of contrasting the holiness of a good king from the wickedness of Macbeth, the evil king.
Faith of Our Fathers, from our friend Joseph Pierce, A History of True England, published by Ignatius Press. We'll put a link to the book on the archives section at Catholic Connection at AveMariaRadio.net. Just don't go to archives. Do you have a favorite saint from that period, from the early period of Catholic history in England?
From the pre 1066, from the Anglo-Saxon period, I probably would. Well, I'd say what I would say, actually, honestly, Teresa, is Our Lady of Walsingham, because in 1061, right at the end of the Anglo-Saxon period, there was a Marian apparition in England, a place called Walsingham in Norfolk, and that place became a major Marian shrine throughout medieval Europe. It was one of the biggest shrines alongside Santiago de Compostela, etc. People traveled to that small place in England, and there's those huge abbeys built there and everything, and all of that was destroyed by Henry VIII. But Our Lady of Walsingham, you know, the Blessed Virgin in her manifestation at Walsingham was very crucial to my own conversion, so I have a great debt of gratitude to her.
How did you find out about her during your conversion process?
Yeah, that's actually a very good question. I knew something about English history, so I think I knew about her. But I actually was living in the last year or two before my conversion. I was living about 30 miles from the shrine and basically started cycling there. And from Easter till the end of the summer, you know, I would go there many weekends just to hang out. It's such a holy place to do the Holy Mile. It's traditional to walk the Holy Mile to the shrine barefoot, so I did that many times, obviously attend Mass, confession. And what I loved about it is at weekends there would always be different pilgrimages from different parts of the country, and you never knew, you know, what to expect when you got there, you know, who would be there. And so that was always marvelous. So it really became part of the very fabric of my final approach to the church. She sort of held my hand, if you like, and walked me over the threshold. So she's very special to me.
So how did you, and this is a reporter in me, I have to ask this question, how did you come to live so close to that shrine? I don't believe in coincidence.
No, absolutely. It's absolute providence. I was looking to escape from my bad life in London, so I wanted to move out to somewhere quiet, and Norfolk is an agricultural part of England, so I wanted some peace and quiet. And then having moved that there, I sort of then discovered, I can't remember exactly how, that I was living that close to Our Lady of Walsingham. It was a two-hour cycle ride. I didn't have a car in England. But, you know, you get just jump on my bike. I like being kept fit and healthy. And it was a great destination, a weekend to just spend the day at Walsingham. So that's what I did on a frequent basis for several years.
Isn't that incredible? I never heard that part of your story, so that's really beautiful. We're talking with our friend Joseph Pierce, of course, author, speaker, and expert on so many things Catholic, including the history of his native land, England. Faith of Our Fathers, A History of a True England. The book was released by Ignatius Press. Again, we'll have a link to it for you. We're going into the break, but when we come back, what I really want to talk about among my favorite English Catholic leaders, of course, so much of what I read is from St. John Henry Newman. I know you're a big fan of his as well. And, of course, Tolkien, and we know Chesterton and C.S. Lewis and so many others. Such a beautiful history of Catholicism in the beautiful nation of England. More with Joseph Pierce when we come back on a Thursday morning. And the book is Faith of Our Fathers, A History of True England, published by Ignatius Press. We'll be right back.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I often go back to my childhood. In church, we love to be reverent, to Christ present in the Eucharist, to Christ on the cross. But I was also impressed by the reverence of my friends in the Salvation Army. They had a little band, and I used to walk past the band on Sunday morning on my way to church. And I was just a child, but I said, you know, they're trying to pray to God. They're showing reverence to God. All this was reverence. Now what do I see? I hear one irreverence after another. And week after week, month after month, the media churns out things that make fun of religion in general and make fun of Christianity in particular, and particularly make fun of the Catholic Church. No class. Absolutely no class.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What are some major offenses against the Eighth Commandment? The Catholic Catechism states that false witness, that is, lying in court, and perjury, which is lying under oath, are especially grave sins because they are stated publicly. Such false statements contribute to the condemnation of the innocent and the exoneration of the guilty, or the increased sentence of the accused. If we assume the moral fault of another without sufficient evidence, we commit the sin of rash judgment. We offend by the sin of detraction when we reveal the faults of another without an objectively valid reason to someone who did not know them. Calumny is the sin of lying about another person, thereby harming their reputation and contributing to occasions of false judgments regarding them. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
When we look out of the world, we see all the craziness and all the attacks on the church and all the attacks on Catholics. Look what's happening with the Catholic Supreme Court justices, especially Justice Alito, who was forced to leave his home because of pro-abortion protesters. And we see the attacks on Catholic churches and pro-life offices. We need to remember the history of our faith. And Jesus told us in Matthew 16:18 that the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. But I think we look at that scripture incorrectly. And Father John Mercado taught me this along with many years of Catholic Bible study, that what Jesus was actually saying is that it's not the world pushing against us and trying to overcome us. It's the world, or it's the church pushing out and not allowing the world to come in. So we are on the offensive, not on the defensive. And that's what that verse means. And we need to remember this, and we need to look at our history. As I always say, this is not our first rodeo. We've had so many people, not only in the United States, but around the world in the Catholic Church, who have gone through so much and not only kept their own faith, but kept it alive for us, including this beautiful history that Joseph Pierce gives us in The Faith of Our Fathers, A True History of True England. That's the book we're talking about this morning. And I think we need to be reminded of this, Joseph. That's why your book is so important, even though we're talking about England in this case. You know, as I said, this is not our first rodeo. We have so many people that have gone before us.
Yeah, and I think one thing's very encouraging about the history of England is that there was an effort, a concerted effort by the powers of the world, by secularism, from Henry VIII onwards, for 300 solid years to wipe the Catholic Church out in England. 300 years of persecution. 150 years of execution, followed by a further 150 years of persecution, where Catholics were second-class citizens in their own country with far fewer legal rights than the rest of the Englishmen.
Gee, that sounds familiar.
Well, exactly. And yet what happens, right, is that, as D.K. Chesterton said, that the Catholic Church has died on many occasions and has risen again from the dead because she worships the God that knows the way out of the grave.
Aww.
And I think, you know, the fact that England in the 19th century had this great Catholic revival heralded by the conversion of St. John Henry Newman, and all of a sudden there are dozens of new Catholic churches being built simultaneously. There are dozens of Catholic schools being opened. The number of Catholic converts is exponentially increasing, and all of a sudden the Catholic Church is right at the heart of English culture again. So this was a resurrection. The 19th century in England was a resurrection of the faith.
So let's talk about St. John Henry Newman. What do we learn in your book about him that we may not have known before?
Well, first of all, his key place in that resurrection I just spoke about, after these 3 centuries of persecution, there were only a few tens of thousands of courageous Catholics that have braved those centuries of persecution. But thanks to John Henry Newman and others, but he was the one at the helm, so to speak, Catholicism was seen, he couldn't just dismiss it as being a foreign religion or a superstitious religion, because Newman was revered by the culture as a whole as a great scholar, a great preacher, as a holy man, as an historian, as a theologian. You know, and all of a sudden, this man becomes a Catholic. Well, now the church has to be reckoned with. You can't dismiss it as something just superstitious and two-dimensional. And so, in his wake, there were many high-profile converts to the faith. And then at the same time, this is Providence. We were talking about Providence. 1845, the same year in which Newman is received at the church, is the potato famine in Ireland. And one consequence of that, of course, is the Irish diaspora. Now, many Irish come over here, of course, to the United States, but many come to England. So almost overnight, we have these higher echelons of society following in Newman's footsteps, the intellectuals, the aristocrats, and we also have this Irish working class. So all of a sudden, the Catholic Church is sort of moving in all the echelons of society. It's nothing short of miraculous, quite frankly.
I love, he's got so many great quotes. I'm looking at this one. He has not created me for naught. I shall do good. I shall do his work. I shall be an angel of peace, a preacher of truth in my own place, while not intending it if I do, but keep his commandments. There's so much about him that I love. He just seemed to have so much common sense about a relationship with God in relationship to people.
Yeah, I mean, he's an absolute giant. And, again, we talked about St. Bede earlier, not just for English Catholicism, but obviously for the Church as a whole. Newman has been hugely influential as a theologian, as a philosopher, as an historian. I mean, it was his study of the early Church and of things such as the Arian heresy in the early Church that actually led to his conversion. But he did all that groundwork which other scholars, historians, theologians, philosophers can build upon.
We can believe what we choose. We are answerable for what we choose to believe. Ooh, I love that one.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing about him, by the way, he has a great mastery of the English language. He's one of the great writers of the English language. And so everything about him is, God gave him more than 5 talents, so to speak.
The book is Faith of Our Fathers, A History of True England from our friend Joseph Pearson, published by Ignatius Press. So for whom did you write the book? I mean, it was a journey and effort of love on your part because of your own background. But for whom was this written, do you think, when you sit down? And I know that we all have our own audiences in mind when we sit down and write books.
Yeah, well, I certainly, everything I write is to the glory of God. Every morning I wake up and ask my words are his words. So first of all, everything I do, I hope, is a prayer. So that's one thing. But also, English history has been so misunderstood and abused because the official history of England has whitewashed out the persecution, has caricatured the Catholic Church, has made heroes of people that are absolute villains that put Catholics to death. So it was a question also, of correcting the lies and exposing the lies and correcting the errors of the way the English history has been taught and passed down for the last 200 years. So other people have done that. Hilaire Belloc did something similar. So I'm following in noble footsteps and standing on the shoulders of giants in doing this. It's not so much a pioneering work as a continuing work of a tradition of basically making Catholic England known for what it is in its glory and its struggles and its crucifixion, and its resurrection, rather than sort of the secularist understanding of history.
How do you think the Catholic Church is doing in England now, Joseph? What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's lots of things bubbling away under the surface. There are prominent converts, both journalists, members of the royal family. We talked about the fact that the bishops have recently reconsecrated England to the Blessed Virgin. The English bishops have actually brought back abstinence from meat on Fridays, which I think is a step in the right direction. So I see good and encouraging things happening. Whenever I return to the Shrine of Walsingham, the number of pilgrims just seems to be increasing exponentially. Mm. So that's also an empirical sign of the Mother of God working at the heart of English culture. So, you know, I am hopeful. I'm certainly hopeful for the 21st century.
I know you mentioned, we were chatting during the break, you did a special show on EWTN about the shrine, correct?
Yeah, I did a video documentary with my friend K.V. Turley, who's an Irishman living in England, and we walked around the ruins of the shrine, of the abbey and the Franciscan monastery there that was destroyed by Henry VIII. They just talked about the history of Walsingham and the Catholic faith in England and its history. Yeah, it was a wonderful, people could probably check it out, EWTN Walsingham, YouTube, they should be able to find it.
Joseph, thanks for your great work and much love to you and your beautiful family. Faith of Our Fathers, A History of True England, published by our friend Joseph Pierce. And again, actually, he just wrote it, and it's published by Ignatius Press more specifically. But we always put links to the books on the archives for Catholic Connection. And you can also re-listen to this interview if you'd like to hear more of the great wisdom of our friend, writer and speaker and author Joseph Pierce. Faith of Our Fathers, A History of True England, from Ignatius Press. We'll be right back. It's a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Working with moms in crisis. We're going to talk about that next. Stay tuned.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The devil will always do his best to tempt you into sin until you get to that place where you love sin. That's what he wants. He wants you down there with him. And not because he loves you, he hates you. When you do what the enemy tempts you to do, he does it out of pure hatred.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
What rituals does your family have? Family rituals aren't just nice things families do once in a while. They have to be regularly scheduled activities that everyone's expected to show up for. Family meals, family prayer time, game nights, movie nights, family days, family chore times are all examples of family rituals if they happen at regular, consistent times and everyone is expected to participate. Strong family rituals help a family become a real team. Research also shows that strong family rituals are the most important ways families communicate their faith and values to their kids. Family rituals teach us what's important to make time for. And that's why the rite of family rituals is one of the most important practices in the liturgy of domestic church life. To discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Do you wish you could have discussions about difficult topics with your adult children? If so, don't worry. You're not alone. Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. And our new book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, can help you draw closer to your adult children and help guide them on the path to more faithful and meaningful lives.
You can get our latest book and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Minutes past the hour, Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection, coast to coast and around the globe on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. It's a co-production of EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. Check out our great work online, EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. And don't forget, after we get off the air today and just about an hour from now, EWTN beginning their coverage of the March for Life in Ottawa And they'll have, in addition to the Mass, all kinds of great coverage from that beautiful event where our brothers and sisters in the pro-life movement in Canada are standing up for life. Someone else standing up for life and walking with moms is our guest this morning. And this ministry is so cool. Their website is great. You have to check it out. It's all about Mommies Matter, and that's a website. Monica Flynn is on the phone with us. So, Monica, how did you get into this area of ministry? Because this is not what you thought you would be doing, which often happens in our relationship with Jesus, right?
That is certainly the fact. And thank you, Teresa, for chatting with me this morning.
Sure.
And giving me the opportunity to share with what we are doing. The Lord is amazing how he has worked in my life. Yes, I have an engineering degree, was in the Air Force, was not on the route of starting a nonprofit or serving women the way that we are. I did, for over a dozen years, counsel women on a hotline for a local pregnancy center. And that is certainly, I think, where he planted the seeds. And my heart would break in talking with them and the situations that, of course, they find themselves that beyond what we could do as a pregnancy center, I could not give her community. I couldn't give her a support group that I really felt and knew that they needed to be able to change their way. The same behavior, same results. If I could instill in her the desire to bring life to the baby that she was pregnant with at that time, in a year, it was almost like a revolving door. She's back with us on the hotline facing another unwanted
pregnancy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what could we do to develop her? I don't know if you've read Toxic Charity by Robert Lupton, but he talks about a crisis versus a chronic. And I think too often when a woman, you know, she thinks it's a crisis pregnancy, and of course it's not, no pregnancy is a crisis. She's in crisis. But it's a chronic problem of getting pregnant again and again and again. And how can we as a pro-life community get in relationship with her to develop her so she's not finding herself facing another unwanted pregnancy? So that's really what Mommies Matter is about. It's about
how does it work? So how does it work? And we were talking about this. Do they have regular meetings? Do you have outreach?
Sure.
What does it look like in the everyday, Monica, for these women?
Sure. So most of our referrals come from pregnancy resource centers and local hospitals that actually Children's Hospital here in Columbus that have a teen pregnancy mommies in need group. And so they get referred to us. And then fundamentally, it's our enrichment gatherings that we have twice a month. So we are meeting as a group. We share a meal. We provide childcare for the kids. And it's the speakers that come in and really share their testimony. Many are post-abortive. Many are single moms or were single moms. I bring in men, single dads, people that you know, we all share in life hardships, and so theirs might be in the form of a pregnancy that they did not plan. You know, somebody else has maybe had an issue with drugs. Whatever it is, we all have hardships, and they will share their own personal testimonies of what life was like and those hardships before they became in relationship and found the Lord, and then after. And so, you know, when they are referred to us, they're certainly not looking for the Lord, so to speak, and they don't even understand how much they need that community, that healthy mm-hmm. community. They're looking more for the stuff. Again, they're feeling in crisis. They're going to be evicted. Their car's broken down. They don't have the baby stuff. And so we help with that, definitely, but what we're really giving them is to see a different way of life,
right.
to get to know the Lord, and that's in those groups.
So would you like to see, because I know you're based in Columbus right now, and by the way, we're talking with Monica Flynn from Mommies Matter. The website is mommiesmatter.org, and I know we had a wonderful conversation on the phone the other day because you work side by side with, as you just said, pregnancy resource centers, and you and I both know Peggy Hartshorn and Heartbeat International so well. But is this something you'd like to see start up, and I would think so, all over the country?
I definitely. I think as our pro-life movement has evolved, even from when I was working the hotline, you know, 15 years ago, it's amazing to see how those pregnancy centers, the outreach that they have been able to grow. So the empowerment centers, the parenting classes that
right,
you know really
right.
address post even you know postpartum depression. What we're able to do is then take that one step further, and we're actually in her world, seeing her weekly, to then help her through that postpartum. So we are, you know, we're going to her. We truly do life together. I mentioned to you when we talked earlier, you know, the mom that couldn't see how she can have this baby because she's graduating from OSU, the first in her family. And we can show her, yes, you just, you know, you could have them both. Delay that graduation for a semester. And so we're there, you know, helping care for the baby as she's studying for finals. And then we're there at graduation. There was no other family member there other than Mommy's Matter, her allies, the volunteers Aww. That she's paired with.
Yeah.
So it is truly doing life with them, and there's really no end. These relationships continue on and on and on. As she then gets stable, if she stops coming to those groups, we do have an annual picnic reunion where all the moms and babies and children come back and we reconnect. And I think what the most beautiful thing is it's not just the volunteers and staff providing a community to them. They become their own support community for each other.
I was going to say that, because what you're doing is you're building fellowship and friendship, which is a big part of a Christian community, which is so important. We're talking with Monica Flynn, Executive Director of Mommy's Matter, the website mommiesmatter.org. And Monica, I wanted to ask you something. I don't know if you heard the just really troubling comments that the Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen made the other day, which was somehow it came up in this discussion of inflation and economic and what was happening federally with finances and whatnot. And it was so insulting to all of us, to all human beings, but especially to women who find themselves in crisis situation. And I was just talking about this yesterday with Cynthia Morales of the movie 40, the film, and Pro-Life Champions, of how racist it was, because she's insisting, Janet Yellen, that women in situations who are in poverty and minority women need abortion because, you know, they just can't make it without it. And the best life for them is going to be a financial success life, and it's a life where they can get an education. You know, but they really have to be in a position in order to be able to have children. So assuming that minority women need abortion and can't do better unless they have abortion, I thought, what an insult. And she's saying this to Senator Scott, and he spoke up and he said, look, he said, I was raised in a very poor family. My mother worked really hard. She was a nurse. She took care of us, and I'm really glad she gave me life. That is the attitude out there.
Yeah.
So it's like Margaret Sanger all over again.
Yeah. I did see that, and it is just so sad. On Tuesday, we had our Mother's Day celebration, and I brought in a local pastor who is a black man, and his daughter actually had an unplanned pregnancy, and he shared that story, how, you know, even you're not protected, you know, just because you're a pastor and you instill these values, your kids still get pregnant, and his daughter was there. But he said to the women, again, there were 35, you know, single moms, some pregnant, some with the babies already born, just how they have already done the most important thing. Their futures are very bright because they gave birth, and that there's nothing more beautiful than that, and that therefore their futures are very bright, that God is always in their corner. And he spoke about abortion and how it goes against everything that the Lord teaches, and that we can do it all, but we can't do it all necessarily at the same time.
Right.
And how, again, with the resources of Mommy's Matter and the other people that the Lord will put in their path, they can do it all. It's really important for me to bring in, not all of our women by any stretch of the imagination are black, but many of them are. We've had Hispanics, we have whites. I want to bring people in, again, that they are not used to hanging out with in their world of toxic relationships. So to show them that they can do it, and to try to tune out the noise that is in there every day with the people that they find themselves. And they really encourage, you know, he really was encouraging them to seek out those healthier relationships. Mm-hmm. And it all does start, you know, with this group, this safe family. We call ourselves the Mommy's Matter family, that we're not just a stereo program. We are a loving community that we look out for then each other. So
then how would someone start a Mommy's Matter chapter in their area? Should they contact you? What does it take?
Yeah, I would love them to contact me. Again, you mentioned Peggy Hartshore, and she was huge in mentoring me and encouraging me. Its outreach is really with churches. And, you know, I have found that when the our pro-life volunteers, before Mommies Matter, a lot of our volunteers, and we have at least 150 of them, they didn't feel comfortable being a sidewalk counselor or a counselor in a pregnant resource center. And they did not know how to engage or, other than writing a check, how to support our movement. And Mommies Matter, there are so many volunteer positions that they really felt like, you know, this ally role of doing life with her and being her, being there when she's having the baby and going to their graduation. That role, there's roles for men. You know, we need single moms. I mean, I have a husband that will hook up my washer and dryer or move furniture for me. They don't have that. So right. Local Knights of Columbus groups, these men are my movers and my, you know, my electricians and hanging a picture on a wall for them. We have what it's called a support sister. So maybe you're a college student, and you don't live locally. You're kind of a pen pal. So you're writing her cards of encouragement when she has the baby, when she gets a new job, when she graduates. There's just so many child care. So during those enrichment gatherings, Tuesday we had 60 kids. So
wow. The
youngest was aww. A 1-week-old baby. She brought her 1-week-old baby up to age 11. And so we need, and that's a great volunteer opportunity for high school kids who need community service hours right. And to, for them to witness what, you know, single parenthood looks like firsthand. Yeah. So
let me ask you, we only have about 2 minutes left. So I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think I want to ask an important question about the physical structure. Because people are thinking about this and they're thinking we need a building, we need a place to do this. Can you work out of a church, a pregnancy resource center? How do you, what physically is required to start a Mommy's Matter chapter?
Yeah, you just, so there's our local church that just supports our ministry. I have keys to the church. We are there 2 to 3 times a month. And so that was our space that we gather. As far as me meeting with client referrals, many times I go to the referring agency's office. So I will go to PDHC or Women's Care Center because they already know where that is, and again, we dovetail services so well. I can work from home, I can work remotely, but when we are meeting with the mothers, just finding a church that will let you use their space. So during the summer, you know, we do a picnic reunion, like I mentioned, we're meeting at parks. But really those enrichment gatherings would just be, you just need a space to hold those. And
yeah, because that's what I'm thinking. If people hear this, they may want to jump on it, but then thinking, oh my goodness, we have to have our own facility. We have to have our own building. We have to pay, you know, the brick and mortar and do this. But if you work with an existing facility, such as a pregnancy resource center that might have the room, or of course, if the churches have the room, maybe in the church basement, talk to your pastor. That's really good to know. Monica, we're out of time. Thank you so much. And God bless you. And I do hope folks will check out MommiesMatter.org. And this is a great resource to share with people when they say, oh, all you care about is the baby, which that's not
the
a bad
baby.
Thing, of course, because if you care about the baby, you care about the mom. But that's not true, because we care about the whole person. We care about the whole family. And Monica's ministry, beautiful ministry, Mommies Matter, shows exactly that. Monica Flynn is the executive director of Mommies Matter. Visit the website. Check it out. MommiesMatter.org. It's 53 minutes past the hour. It is a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection. We will be right back to let you know what's coming up on a Friday. Again, the website, MommiesMatter.org. Stay tuned.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, 2 of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
Did you know Franciscan University of Steubenville offers a Master's of Arts in Catholic Studies? Our unique program offers courses from many academic disciplines: literature, biology, art, theology, psychology, all taught from a distinctly Catholic perspective. This 100% online program can be completed in just 1 year. Learn to see the world through a Catholic lens with a Master's in Catholic Studies from Franciscan University of Steubenville. Find out more at franciscan.edu/MCS.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
CMF Curo is the Catholic healthcare option you've been searching for. From concierge service to ethical consultations to partnerships with one of the nation's largest healthcare sharing ministries, CMF Curo offers a pro-life, Catholic approach to your overall health and well-being. Find out today if CMF Curo is right for you. Call 833-GET-CURO. That's 833-GETCURO. Or visit mycatholichealthcare.com.
Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN. Don't forget to follow our coverage today from Ottawa for the March for Life in Canada. Speaking of which, Janet Moranin is there. She's going to be joining us tomorrow, but on her new book, Everything You Need to Know About Abortion, which was just released, it's specifically written for teens, but I think adults and especially moms and dads will get a lot out of it as well. Again, Everything You Need to Know About Abortion for Teens. Fact Check Friday coming up as well. Media Research Center out with a new study in terms of the coverage the last 2 weeks since the Dobb decision was leaked, or the draft opinion was reached regarding Roe v. Wade in the Dobbs case, on the coverage in the media. The numbers are astounding about how many pro-life people were interviewed versus pro-abortion. I know it won't surprise you, but it might shock you, actually, I should say, more specifically. That's coming up. It's going to be a very interesting show, and have a great day. Get out there and enjoy it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.